The Catholic Church in Holland is gearing up to mark the centenary of the birth of one of its best-known figures of recent times. Cardinal Johannes Willebrands was born on September the 4th, 1909, and died just 3 years ago, aged almost 97. Before his death, he had been the oldest member of the College of Cardinals, and throughout his long career, he became one of the principal architects of the modern movement for unity amongst the divided Christian churches. Known affectionately by many as the Flying Dutchman because of his frequent travels to meet with Orthodox patriarchs or Protestant pastors, as well as with his own Catholic confreres, Willebrands became one of the most influential figures in the years following the Second Vatican Council, steering the Church on a new course towards constructive engagement with those outside the Catholic fold.
He was so convinced of the truth and the need of this vocation and of this work for unity. He called it the ecumenical work. He was so convinced that it was a gift of the Spirit and was a vocation from God that he continued in spite of all the difficulties or the hindrances he would have met.
Dr. Adalbert Deneau is Dean of the Catholic Theology Faculty at the University of Tilburg in Holland and one of the organisers of a four-day conference in Utrecht marking the centenary of Willebrand's birth.
I think it's an appropriate occasion to celebrate his 100th anniversary. And with this conference, we aim to make more known the important figure of Cardinal Willebrands to a larger public. But one of the purposes of the conference especially is to arise interest of students in his life, in his influence, in what he has done on a national and international level. Because for the moment, the archives are coming free, at least some of them. And on the occasion of this conference, we publish two diaries, one a diary and one agenda of Cardinal Willebrands. And that's giving the possibility to study him more in depth. So there is a diary which he kept from 1958 till 1961 in Dutch. So the years before the council, and the year 1960 was the year he was appointed as the secretary of the Secretary of for Unity. So very important years in his life. We have translated this diary into English and annotated it. This is one of my colleagues of the faculty who has done that. A second thing is the agenda during the council. He kept an agenda in French. So another scholar from Leuven has published it, and these two publications will be presented on the occasion of the conference.
It sounds as though there'll be some fascinating insight into the spirit of those times, as you say, just before the council. Can you give us, if you like, a sneak preview, an anticipation of perhaps any of the most interesting things that we'll be able to find there?
Well, of course, one can see in this diary all the possible contacts Cardinal Willebrands has had in these years, because before becoming secretary of the secretariat, he was, of course, exploring the possibilities of bringing together Catholic ecumenists. And in that sense, he was traveling all around Europe, meeting bishops, theologians, setting up the Catholic Conference for Ecumenism. So this was a kind of private initiative taken by him and one of his colleagues, priests, Frans Thijssen. So they set up this unofficial Catholic conference, but with the collaboration of bishops and theologians all over Europe. And that is very clearly seen in these diaries also, of course. And moreover, you also can see something of his spirituality, because Cardinal Willebrands, of course, at that moment he was not yet a cardinal, but Monsignor Willebrands, he wanted also to live the Church as oikumene, and in that perspective, he longed for establishing a society, a kind of community of priests and lay people who would live this spirituality of unity in a concrete community. And this community would also be open for eventually converts from the Protestant Church who became Catholic. So it is interesting to have an insight also in his deep desires. of course, that wish to become free for ecumenism is already older. It dates from the years 1953 already. We can find a correspondence of Cardinal Willebrand with his bishop, the Bishop of Haarlem, Monsieur Huybers, wanting to be free for doing ecumenical work. So at that moment, it was still very unusual for a bishop to set free a priest for ecumenical work. Cardinal Willebrand at that moment was the director of the Philosophicum in Warmond, and he wanted really to leave that secure life to enter into a more vague, unsecure life of ecumenism. So it was a kind of vocation he felt from above, and to which he has been faithful all his life in all different circumstances.
Back in those days that you're talking about, the 1950s, it was an incredibly bold and even prophetic vision that he had. Where did this come from, do you think? What were the experiences that led to this vocation he felt so strongly?
Well, for the moment, I don't know exactly, but in one of his writings, he says that he had this vocation already in 1946. So this was shortly after the Second World War. And in the Second World War, of course, Christians came together to help those in need, the people who were victims of the war. So there has been a first collaboration in practical, very practical, concrete way of different Christians in Holland. And in one or other way, he was involved in this, and from there grew possibly his vocation. But of course, it could also be, there could be other sources. He was a student of Newman. He had studied Newman during his training, his graduate studies in Rome, in the Angelicum. He made a thesis on Newman. So maybe also there was an influence, but that is not yet established clearly. We need more research for establishing the precise influences. In the conference, there will be a paper from Professor Houtepen, who will sketch the context in Holland, and maybe there will be some new elements on this question.
As the number two at the Secretariat for Christian Unity in those early days, of course, he was there on the scene at some of the most historic moments, the first contacts, Pope Paul VI meeting with Patriarch Athenagoras and their cancelling of the mutual excommunication, and so on. How much are these early developments really his own personal legacy, if you like?
I think he was, so to say, the discreet, diplomatic force behind all this. He was a very discreet man, very open, and having contacts. So in that sense, he was really the man who prepared all these important meetings. For example, during the council, he had some secret missions to the countries of the Near East to try to diminish the reactions of some Catholic bishops from the Eastern Churches, but united with Rome. Some of these bishops were against the declaration of religious freedom because they feared for their own situation, of course. And so Cardinal Willebrand was the man who was sent by the Pope to make a kind of exploration of all these churches and trying to get these bishops within the movement of the council. So therefore, he was an excellent person. He had a very gentle way, discreet way of dealing, but he was very open and balanced. So that gave him the qualities to do very important work in all these different areas where the church was moving forwards, because really he has made a very important contribution, I would say, to the conversion of the Catholic Church to ecumenism. But we can really speak of a kind of conversion in these years of the church as a whole, and there he was one of the very important figures. Of course, there are others like Yves Congar, Cardinal Bea, and others, but he was certainly one of the important persons, and during the council, becoming a bishop, and then he got more authority even in the redaction of the text. So the most important text on ecumenism, on religious liberty, even on revelation, Bible and revelation, he has got a real influence on this.
What do you think were his deepest disappointments in those early days?
Well, I think one of his disappointments was that not everybody within the Catholic Church would support this movement of the Church towards more unity and openness for other Christians. I think he has been aware very clearly of the resistance against this, the move over the conversion of the Church. So within the Catholic Church, of course, he had these difficulties. And I even think that when he was a secretary and Cardinal Bea died, it was not obvious from the very beginning that he would become his successor. It took some months before he was appointed, and this maybe is due to some resistance from some circles within the Vatican. So in that sense, he was aware that even within his own church, not everybody was on the same line. Of course, he had to also to meet the different sensitivities of the different churches. For example, his relation with Westerhoofd of the World Council of Churches. He was also Dutch. So these relationships went not always as smooth as he desired, because there were all kinds of sensitivities which he had to try to cope with, to get them also in these relations. But on the whole, I think he has his disappointments or the hindrances he has met have not hindered him to move forward. Because really, the tandem Bea Willebrands, just after the Vatican Council, have set up a whole network of dialogues and relationships with the other churches, which really has changed the attitude of the Catholic Church and has changed the whole scene of ecumenism worldwide. So that is really his contribution.
My thanks there to Dr. Adelbert Deneau, Dean of the Catholic Theology Faculty at the University of Tilburg in Holland, and one of the organisers of a forthcoming four-day conference in Utrecht to mark the centenary of Cardinal Willebrand's birth.